Good morning, and welcome to West End United Methodist Church on this cold New Year's Eve. It's so good to have you all here today, and I'm glad to see we're filling in nicely so you can all keep each other really warm out there. I do have a few announcements for this week and in the coming weeks. The first is that tonight we will have our yearly New Year's Eve Taze service, and that will be at 6:30 p.m. in the theater on the fourth floor. And then also, starting on January 21st, we will have West End 101, which is a series that runs every so often here, and it is intended for those who are new to West End. And anyone who's new here may be visiting or may have joined recently and has not done West End 101 is invited to come to get to know our pastors a bit and to learn more about our ministries here at the church and find out how you can be involved at the church. The class will run for 4 weeks, and it happens during the normal Sunday morning class time at 9:45 a.m. Finally, we do not have any Wednesday night dinners this week on January 3rd, but we will resume again starting on January 10th. And in addition to the dinner starting back, we will have a class on what is real love. What does it mean to practice and live in real love? Not the romantic kind. We want to invite everybody to come and learn about what it is to experience love. And that will be taught by Sally Honor, and that will be on the third floor in room 304. And then also, a little bit later on, starting on the 17th, I will start a book study as well on the book Fear of the Other by Bishop Will Willimon, where we will have some discussions about what it means to be in community with those that are unlike ourselves. And that will be a precursor to some work we're going to do together later on in the year on Wednesday nights, talking about race relations. So anyway, that is all my announcements for today, and it is time to get our service started. So we want to lift our hearts and our minds to the Lord this morning. We bring ourselves, mind, body, and spirit, to worship God and worship the truth that God is with us.
Thank you. Let us dance with delight in the Lord, and let our hearts be filled with rejoicing. As we gather this morning at the transition of a new year, continuing to welcome our Savior into the world, let us ask forgiveness from a merciful God. Lord Jesus, yours are the seasons and the ages. Give us a new heart and a new spirit. Lord, have mercy. Jesus Christ, you are the beginning and the end of all that is, including our lives. Make a new beginning with all of us. Christ, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you breathe your spirit on all creation. Make our old world new again. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on us, Lord, and let your forgiveness and love come down on us day after day. Lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Beloved friends gathered here, be assured that you are forgiven. You are loved. God is with us. Emmanuel has reminded us of the world as it can be and invites us to join in this work. Amen. Now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you. Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Holy God, help us to give voice to the wonderful news. You yourself are coming to dwell among us. Quicken our imaginations to find new and creative ways to proclaim Christ's coming. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Luke. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for mine eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
morning. Did everybody have a wonderful Christmas? Yeah. Did you at least get one thing that you wanted for Christmas? Yeah, well, that's good. That's good. I would ask you what you got, but I bet you all could go on forever and ever about all the wonderful gifts you got. So we're not going to do that right now, but you can find me after the service, and you can each tell me what your favorite gift was that you got for Christmas. But you know, at Christmas time, and did you know this is still Christmas time in the church? We are in the middle of Christmas still, and so today we're singing Christmas hymns and we're celebrating the arrival of the Christ child. And today in our story we hear this tale of Jesus being brought to the temple to be dedicated to God, and Mary and Joseph run into this man named Simeon, and Simeon tells them, like other people have already told them, that this is going to be a special child and that this Jesus is going to grow up to show the whole world what it is to love one another and to grow in God's grace. And so, you know what? Simeon does this funny thing, though. He says, but you know what? Sometimes things are going to be dark. He doesn't just say it's always going to be happy. He even says there are going to be some times when Jesus goes through some rough stuff, and Mary, you're going to go through it too. But you know what? He says, but the light shines in all of that. Who remembers when we had the eclipse a few months ago? Does anybody remember the eclipse? Yeah. You remember how the sun was shining so brightly, and then all of a sudden the moon started going in front of its path, and what happened? It got darker and darker and darker, right? And then at that moment when the moon went all the way in front of the sun, it was like the light was almost all the way blocked out, but you could still see it. You could still see this ring around the moon, and you could see a little bright spark of light. And then what happened? It moved on and the sun came out again. And so at Christmas time, we celebrate the fact that God's light is continuing to move into the world. And so look, I've got, what's this? Watch this. You see that? Little nice candle here. I'm going to let, as you all head back to your seats, I'm going to let each of you take one of these, and you'll have to ask your parents where you can put it at your house. But what I want you to do is, in these dark winter months, I want you to take this light and turn it on as a reminder of Christ's light in the world and a reminder to us to love everyone we meet. All right? Will you say a prayer with me? Gracious Lord, it is a wonderful thing to be here today to celebrate your presence with us, that your light has come into the world. We know that you are here with each of us today, and Lord, just help us learn to live and walk in your light in all things. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, would y'all like one? Yeah, you're welcome. So let me start out today then by saying three things to you. First of all, as I just said, Merry Christmas, because we are still in the Christmas season here in the church, and so today we continue to celebrate the arrival of the Christ child. The second thing I say is Happy New Year, because this doesn't always happen, but this year, the first Sunday after Christmas Day happens to be New Year's Eve as well, and so we are all looking ahead to 2018. So Happy New Year. And finally, and most importantly, I want to say congratulations. You made it. You made it through all of the December shopping for presents and throwing or parties or going to parties and visiting with family and friends and all of the other stuff that goes along with this hectic time of year. But you know, I hope you've all had a bit of time since Christmas Day over this last week that tends to be a little slower to reflect a bit on some of those truly special gifts that seem to come to us during the Christmas season. The company of those that we love most dearly. Time to slow down and reflect on another long year that has passed. And most especially, time to reflect on the Christmas promise of God's presence with us. Now, I don't know about you, but once Christmas Day has passed and gone, It seems like I can finally soak in just a little bit of that Christmas joy and hope. It's like on Christmas Day, finally, and that week that follows, it's as if a little peace has finally arrived into my life. And yet, there looming on the horizon is the end of it all. In those very moments when everything seems to have settled down, when happiness has started to take up residence in my heart, and I just want to sit back and enjoy the bright glow of the light of Christmas, it seems like it's time to move on. Even for those of us like me who like to keep up our decorations all the way through the 12 days of Christmas, I will tell you that's the right way to do it, by the way. There is, even for people like me, Christmas Day, I have to admit, it signals that there's this march towards the end of the Christmas season, and before I know it, it's gone. Now, this is not all bad, and in a lot of ways, it's really great to get back to a semblance of our normal routines, to get back in the groove. And you know, certainly the prospect of a new year also brings with it the real possibility of freshness and of growth and of change, perhaps even renewal of sorts. But you know, if we're honest with ourselves, or at least if I'm honest with myself, often the close of the Christmas season is shadowed by the seeming fact that the joy of Christmas will be overcome by our return to the real world, to our real lives, and to the everyday. And the truth is that this is actually sort of our experience of Christmas in the church as well. No sooner have we celebrated the arrival of the Christ child into the world than it seems that we are journeying to the cross with Jesus. And our calendar, our church calendar, certainly doesn't do us any favors. Did you know that Lent this year starts on February 14th? That's right, Valentine's Day. So it's easy to remember. We have, and just a really interesting fact, Ash Wednesday on Valentine's Day, and then you know what Easter is? April Fool's Day. So we might pull a prank on you come Easter. But our calendar is so compact this year, we only get 6 weeks to spend with the baby child Christ, and also talking about the life and ministry of the man Jesus before we start on our final journey to Jerusalem. And so, you know, it's like we're already getting there. We're already leaving behind this Christmas thing. And here we are on the seventh day of Christmas, and you know what? Our scriptures even do us less of a favor than the calendar does. Here we come to this story of Jesus' dedication in the temple. And if you're actually reading the narratives in the Gospel of Luke, this story follows right after the shepherds visit to the manger and Jesus receives his name. So the story is truly the next one in the sequence of events according to Luke. So we're told that when the time was right that Joseph and Mary went to Jerusalem to present Jesus in the temple. Now, while it's not exactly the same thing, watching them do this must have been something like watching people come forward in our own church to bring their children forward for baptism. On those happy occasions, it's the special privilege of the ministers, but also of you, to affirm what God is already doing in the lives of these children and their parents as we pray for their continued growth in love and service to God. And so somewhat similarly here, Joseph and Mary are following their religious customs to dedicate this child, Jesus, to the service of God. Now, one can only imagine what a special, meaningful moment this must have been for them, especially when you think about the fact that they had already been told that this was a special child. They already expected this child to be a blessed servant of God. And so this act of presenting Jesus was really just an affirmation of everything that they already knew to be true about their baby, that he would be someone special, that in the words of the angel Gabriel, he would be great, and the Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and of his kingdom there will be no end. So offering a child like this in the temple for dedication would have been a joyous occasion indeed. But you know what? It's just at this time, however, that they encounter Simeon, the first of two prophets who had crossed their paths that day. Now, Luke says Simeon was a righteous man and had spent his whole life looking forward to the consolation of Israel. That's the way it's translated, the consolation. Well, the Greek word that's translated as consolation really means something more like coming alongside. So in other words, Simeon, like so many prophets before him, was waiting for that time when God's people would be in full and right relationship with God. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon had come to know that he would witness the arrival of the Messiah, this ultimate sign that God had kept God's promises, that God was, yes, indeed, with them. So upon seeing this child brought into the temple, Simeon actually can't wait, and he's led by the Spirit, and he goes and he scoops up this baby, and he declares that salvation has come in the form of this child. Now, his testimony to the baby's identity is made clear when he says that he's seen salvation and he can be dismissed. But this is not all. Simeon even goes on to say that this baby will be a light to the Gentiles. In other words, this work of salvation will have something to do with everyone, with all people. And we're told that Mary and Joseph are amazed by this declaration. So not only does Simeon say, yes, this is a special baby, but also maybe gives them a glimpse into just how special he is, maybe even more than they knew before, that in this baby, salvation would be offered to all persons. Now, this is where we typically like to focus when we hear this story. Every time I hear a sermon preached on this story, or we read it in a Bible class or something else, we typically like to stop right here, because I think we're drawn to this image of Simeon, who has waited so faithfully all along, all of these years, to see God's salvation. We find some hope in the fact that God rewards his patience, and we love this idea that the Christ child is indeed the one who will bring salvation to us and to the world. So it would really be nice if the story could just stop right there, kind of like how I wish sometimes we could just freeze Christmas joy in its place. If Mary and Joseph could simply bask in this adulation of their child. And you know, it'd be wonderful if we could join along with them to sort of be forever there, amazed by what it is that God is doing in this moment. But you know what? Simeon is wise, and wise Simeon won't let Mary and Joseph off the hook that easily. And frankly, they don't let us off the hook that easily either. Because like all great prophets, Simeon is a truth teller, or the way we might say it, he tells it like it is. And Simeon has declared that this child will be a light for revelation to the world, yes, but he also admits that where there is light, there is shadow. Just as he has affirmed Mary and Joseph's highest hopes, he turns to Mary with a foreboding prediction that the child Jesus will be the occasion for the rising and falling of many people. That Jesus will be a sign that is opposed so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. I love that phrase, so that the inner thoughts of many people will be revealed. And then Simeon tells Mary that a sword will pierce her own soul as well. So in just a few brief sentences, Simeon foreshadows the anguish that is to accompany the life of Jesus as well as all of those who love him. Now, it's hard not to wonder what Mary must have been thinking in a moment like this. Could she have fully comprehended what it was that Simeon meant? Was there any way for her to know the extent to which she and her son would sacrifice and suffer in the years ahead? And while I suspect that there was no way for her to fully grasp the magnitude of what Simeon said in that moment, I imagine at some level, as a mother, she knew what Simeon meant. Because while the promise of pain of which Simeon spoke was sort of on a divine, big, grand scale, it's not dissimilar to the combined experience of hope and trepidation that many parents of children feel. They love their children dearly, wishing the best for them, all the while knowing that life won't be perfect. There will be challenges and failures. There will be times even that test the relationship between parent and child. But when it's all said and done, there's an abiding love that bears these struggles and a faith in the end that the goodness of life shared and passed on to a child will have been worth all of that pain. But Mary could have never imagined the rejection her son would eventually face. And you know, Simeon's words don't simply address the experience of one particular mother and son. Again, Simeon is speaking on this grand divine scale. His words have implications far beyond the intimate experience of mother and son. His words foreshadow the long and difficult process of God's saving love for humankind working its way into the world. In essence, he speaks of the relationship between God and all of God's children. And it's easy to let these prophetic words of Simeon's slip by in the midst of a casual reading of this story. But you know, I think once you notice them, it becomes almost impossible to experience the joy of Christmas in quite the same way again. Because for all of the hope present in the arrival of the Christ child, Simeon's words to Mary are a stark reminder that the saving work of God is not coming about in one immediate moment of victory over evil. Rather, this is the beginning of a long, difficult process of illuminating the darkness that lies at the heart of a sinful world. It's ongoing. And Simeon's purposes, his words to Mary, are a stark reminder that living into God's promises and purposes is not easy or painless. In fact, there are times when it may not seem joyful at all, times when the heart will be pierced. And yet, that is the peculiar hope that we are offered every Christmas season. This is the strange and wondrous source of our joy that can sustain us in the new year and years to come. Simeon's words remind us that whenever we encounter God in Jesus Christ, we are presented with an opportunity to live in the light that illumines the shadows in our world, in our lives, and yes, even in our own hearts. We are offered a chance time and again to envision life as God reveals it, life full of love that reaches into the darkest depths of human experience. And we're invited to remember that at Christmas time, we don't celebrate a cheap and superficial happiness, one that easily fades away as we get back to our real lives in the real world. No, rather, we find joy in the fact that God has come to dwell among us, right here in our real lives and in this real world. Now, sometimes this joy is a hard-earned joy. When the light of Christ illumines the shadows that continue to dwell among us and within us, we face decisive moments when we must choose how we respond to what it is that's being revealed. It's the great Christmas claim that in Christ, God has put on flesh and blood to make love and forgiveness and healing and grace and redemption known to us and to the whole world. And as members of the body of Christ, that's all of us here today, we are asked to take part in that ongoing presence of God in the world. What does it look like to truly believe that God is with us here and now? What would it mean to tend to the shadows, to open space for God's light to shine in on the darkest parts of our lives, both collectively and individually? Now, at the end of our gospel lesson today, we heard of a second prophet, a woman named Anna, who, after having been widowed at a young age, spent the rest of her life at the temple, steeped in worshiping and fasting and prayer. Now, I bet Anna's life didn't turn out quite the way she thought it would when she was young and engaged to be married. She didn't expect to lose a husband so young. And yet, when her life was interrupted and turned upside down by death, her response was to open her life even more fully to the purposes of God. So I think it's fitting that this is the woman who then had walked this her own journey of pain that comes forward to begin to publicly announce to all that salvation has come. Her bold proclamation is an example of what it means to live into the hope of Christ. And here is a deep trust that what is truly foreshadowed by the arrival of Christ is not the ongoing presence of darkness, but the fullness of the light of God's love. So, this week, as you get back into your normal routines, as the realities of life begin to creep back in upon you as these cold winter months drag on, remember that wherever and whenever you see shadow, remember the testimony of Simeon and Anna. Remember that light shines even through the shadows. And remember that the Word of God has indeed come to dwell among us. God's loving mercy and grace is the story above all stories that foreshadows the salvation that is happening all around us. So once again, as we continue on in our service today, I say, Happy New Year. Go into 2018 knowing that God is with each and every one of you, and that God's light continues to shine from now and forever forward. Thanks be to God. And now we come to that time where we join our voices together in our affirmation of faith, where we claim the faith that we proclaim each and every day, and we claim it for ourselves and our own lives. If you would stand as you're able and join in the creed found on 883. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
As we come to a time of prayer, we lift up the joys and concerns of our congregation as an offering to our loving God. If you have a prayer request that you would like to share, please fill out one of the gray cards that you'll find in the pew racks. Please note whether you want it to remain confidential or you're okay if we share it with others, and you can place it in the offering plate when it comes down the pew in a few moments. Just want to let you know that a short visitation and memorial service will take place in Scales Chapel next Sunday at 1 o'clock p.m. after the 11 a.m. service for Carol Potter Chandler. Let us now offer to God our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. As children of God and heirs of the promise, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Loving God, hear our prayer. For the Holy Church of God, that all who have been baptized into Christ may shine like the dawn, bear witness to the good news of Jesus, and light the way of salvation in Jesus' name. Let us pray to the Lord. Loving God, hear our prayer. For the nations of the earth, that governments and those in authority may protect the vulnerable, shelter the oppressed, and pursue the way of peace. Let us pray to the Lord. Loving God, hear our prayer. For our city, Nashville, and for all the places of human interaction and livelihood, that kindness may abound, compassion prevail, and harmony endure. Let us pray to the Lord. Loving God, hear our prayer. For the planet Earth, our home, that we may honor her gifts, respect her limitations, and protect her resources. Let us pray to the Lord. Loving God, hear our prayer. For those troubled with illness, hardship, or conflict, that they may receive healing for their bodies, release from their burdens, and mending of their brokenness, let us pray to the Lord. Loving God, hear our prayer. Hear us, O God, for our eyes have seen your salvation. Let your light shine through us and fill the world with the radiance of your love revealed in Jesus Christ our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit reigns in glory. And now, O God, hear our prayer as we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. With thankful hearts, let us offer our gifts to God.
In the spirit of Simeon and Anna, please do go tell it on the mountain, but also go tell it in the city, go tell it in the suburbs, go tell it wherever shadows may dwell. Share the good news that the light that reveals God's goodness has truly come among us. Go in peace, go in grace, and share God's love and light to the world. Amen.